So this is part two of what I learned by spending over $189,000 on Facebook ads. So if you like part one and you'd like to hear my story about how I started, how my first funnel made me $50,000, and how that was just the beginning of a long journey of generating leads and closing sales and learning about business, well, you'll like part two, where I talked about exactly how to use Facebook ads. Everything from setting up your campaigns to your ad sets to the ads, to even to optimizing your ads, understanding cost per lead, cost per clicks, everything. So if you like this episode, you can actually watch the full live video version. If you go to everythinggoesmyway.com/training, you can get the full live video version, or you can even watch it on YouTube. So go on YouTube. If you want to see more visuals, you want to see my pretty face, you can go to YouTube at Locally Manzanares. But without further ado, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to the Everything Goes My Way podcast with your host, Logan Manzanares.
All that set up, now we actually can go and create an actual ad. So, how do I go back here? So go back to Ads Manager. All right, so now if we're gonna create a new campaign, we start with this little green button, right? Just click campaign. Again, we're gonna pick our thing. I'm just gonna pick leads. We're gonna call this a name, I think. Name your campaign. Okay, I'm gonna call this test. That I always like to do the date, right? So I like to like see kind of what this is. Test 11/15/22. And then if I'm, we'll just leave it at that. So test 11/15/22, copy that, continue. Okay, if you're doing any of these things, you'll have to put these in here that you're advertising for these things. I don't do those things, so I don't have to do that. Auction type is that, is, or buying type is auction. Again, we're optimizing for leads. Let's see if there's some more options on here. Campaign spending limit. So that's pretty much it for campaign level. Okay, there's some other things you can do. I'm not gonna go into that stuff today. Now we're gonna come in here to the ad set level. Okay, so the first thing we're gonna do is we're gonna change the name to make it all sure it's the same. Right now this, if I was gonna do girls, like I could do, so this is where you can separate a demographics. This is why you would have different ad sets under the same campaign. So I would do girls, or I would do boys, or I would do Bozeman, or I would do Helena. So you can separate your audience based on the based on what you want to advertise to. Okay. So again, as we scroll down here, you should see that I should go website, because I want to go to my picks. I'm optimizing for conversions, my free cleaning. Boom, boom, boom. This is where you can go dynamic creative. So I'll come back to this in a second. I'll show you what that looks like on an ad that we're running. So you can set your daily budget. Again, when you're first starting, it's gonna limit you to probably like $25 a day. But as you start to spend more, like I don't know, I could spend as much money as I wanted to, I think, right? In the beginning, it'll limit you. I don't know if I have a limit. It's just a warning. Yeah, I wonder if I actually do have a limit on here. I'm more curious than anything. I don't know, leave it. You can change the start date. You can put an end date on there. Again, you can do some other cool things, but I'm just gonna show you this quick overview. Then you can define your audience. So I'm gonna type in Bozeman, Montana. Oops, that was a custom audience, sorry. You can do custom audience as well. So like if you're doing specific types of audiences all the time, then you can plug those in there. You can pull people from your email list if you have them. There's lots of things you can do. I'm just giving you guys the brief overview of what it looks like. So if I just leave this totally open, you can see here that we're estimating about 100,000 people. That's 25 miles outside of Bozeman, and that's 18 to 65. And so even with our cleaning company, we like to advertise to a little bit older demographic, because ain't no 18-year-old kid looking on Facebook for cleaning ads, get their house cleaned. And we actually primarily do women as well, because they seem to be the buyers when it comes to that. And now look at that, we're in that $30,000, in that 30,000 person range. And so 25 miles though, it's a little bit far for us. We like to go 10 miles. And so now we're in that 21 to 25,000 people. Again, so if your market's too small, you might have to open it up. If it's too big, you can narrow down more, right? So like if I this was like 100, 150,000 people, I might even narrow this down more. I was like, okay, what's my ideal? So maybe I want even older. I want 40, right? 40 to 65. And so you can just like play those numbers to see kind of where you're at. I'm not going to add any interest or demographics in here. Languages, again, if you want people who only speak English or Spanish or whatever it is, put that in there. You could say that audience. Again, I could say this audience and I could call it, you know, Bozeman, women, cleaning, 40 plus, right? You can call it whatever you want. We're optimizing for conversions. And you could change this to all these other things. We're just keeping on that. So now we have our ad set. Okay. So again, if you wanted to, you could duplicate this. Okay. So we're going to do it off the original campaign. So we want to select the campaign for ad set, existing campaign, duplicate. And now we can do the same thing. And now we could run. So let's call this women, for example. And then we could change this to men, right? And we could do literally now we keep everything exactly the same. And now the only thing we're gonna do different is we're going to change this we're gonna edit this and then change this to men. Update. Boom. So now everything else is literally exactly the same. Okay. Oh, the one thing I forgot to change actually. See, it sneaks up on you is that these placements, right? So I don't want to place this on all the platforms. So automatically as you go on default, I do not like doing that. I've tested it. And there was like one test that worked as doing default. Other than that, I don't like it. And I usually like to separate Facebook and Instagram. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But again, I want to turn everything off besides the feeds. I just found it to be the type of marketing type ad I'm doing is a distraction. And so that's what I like the most. You tend to pay the most for that, but you also seem to get the best results. So again, I would do that. So I would turn everything off and then I'd have to go back through the women and do the same thing. So I forgot to do that. So it automatically puts you on manual plus. It'll tell you that's the best way to do it. It's not. Just telling you right now, it's definitely not. Turn these off. Cool. Okay. So there we go. So that now we have two ad sets and then now we can come through here. Now we'll actually have two little different ads as well. So now we made it past the ad set level. The next thing we do is the ad level itself. Okay. So I'm going to come through here again. Test 11522. And now I'm going to pick the Facebook page. So again, you can see all these Facebook pages that I've used to market through. Instagram, the only ones on there is Bozeman 5-stars connected to it. So again, we can pick our Facebook page. We're gonna go single image. All that stuff is the same. We're gonna add media. So again, at this point now we can add as much media as we want, or we actually can only add one, I believe, at this moment. Let me just check it here. So let's just put this in here, hit next. Kind of gives us an idea. We can crop inside here. Like everything looks good, but you can crop it if you want to. I've already cropped everything. Right, you can do that. Apply. Next. Look at that. Thank you for doing that, Facebook. Help me out a little bit. There you go. So Facebook's helping a brother out. Even though we're not going to our Facebook right column anyway, it doesn't really matter. We're just doing feeds. So this is what it'll look like. You can see primary text. We'll put some copy in here. Free cleaning. Click here. Something, right? Headline. Free cleaning. And as they start to build it, you can see here, you can start to see the ad actually come to life. So this is kind of cool. Call to action. There's all these different ones. Again, I like to learn more. It's just the one I found that tested the best. Then you're going to put your landing page on here. So we put our website URL. So you go back here. So again, like this is what we're optimizing for, but we actually want people to land on this page, on the opt-in page, right? So this is where they're going to opt in to here. Cool. So now it shows the link right here. Again, I guess I don't usually do this, but I could go freecleaning.com. Let's just see if it shows up. There we go. So you can change that. Maybe it's not freecleaning.com. Call extension. Again, you could have them show up here or you can turn it off. It's whatever you want, right? I think we usually have it off because I actually want people to go through the funnel. I want, because it allows us to contact, like go inside our system, and I don't want them to call us until they go through our funnel. So that would be setting up an ad, right? And we do the same thing for guys or girls. So again, now we could target this absolutely to guys, right? You see this one is on the guide account. So I would go Bozeman guys. Put some emojis in here. Free cleaning. Why? Because you are a badass. You deserve it. Right? Whatever. Like, just now we can actually speak specifically to guys, right? So that's the value of separating these campaigns between guys and girls. Or if we're going Bozeman versus Helena, or wherever you are, if you're in Mesa versus Scottsdale, like you can actually call out the specific, the more specific you can call out the person, the more likely they are to actually like feel like the ad is coming to them, and they're gonna like be stopped, and they're gonna be interrupted. Okay, so we're trying to interrupt them with as many possible things as we possibly can. We can interrupt them with the picture, we can interrupt them through the copy, we can interrupt them through the headline. Again, like I showed you a little cool trick too, is that you can also interrupt them through the Facebook page, right? So again, like Bozeman Five Star Cleaning, cool. But like when we used to run our fitness stuff, I would go Bozeman Best Fitness Deals, right? So again, like mind you, this is a cleaning ad. Like I could run Bozeman's Best Service Deals, right? And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, Bozeman Best Service Deals, like that can stop their, like that can also catch their attention too. So like, and there's like little things that you can do that can help stop somebody. So then again, at that point, once you have all that stuff here, now we have our campaign, we have our ad set, and then we have our ad, we literally can click publish, right? And Facebook will say yes, no, maybe so. They might reject it. Usually, as long as you follow within all the rules, they accept it. So a couple rules that most people don't know, unless you have run Facebook ads before, is that you can't do before and afters, not even on cleaning pictures, right? So some of you guys in here are in the fitness industry. I see some old gym owners on here. Like you can't run before and after pictures on Facebook, which was like one of our, like it's the thing that sells the best for us. We can't even use those as advertisements. So we got creative, but before and after pictures don't work. There's certain pictures or certain things that don't work. There's certain copy that they'll reject you on, but you basically will hit publish. And then I believe that there's like a software they use that allows, you know, that they basically go through your campaign, your ad set and your ad, and they basically decide whether your ad is good. And then if it doesn't go through, then maybe you can request a review. And then at that point, I think a person actually comes through. And, you know, sometimes we would request a review and it would go through, sometimes it wouldn't. And so and at the end of the day, like Facebook doesn't really tell you exactly why they are not accepting your ad. And also like they can turn ads off. Even if you get accepted, they can turn it off like a couple days into it, and they won't tell you exactly why. They'll give you like some generic reason, and you have to try to figure it out. And so that's why it can be kind of wonky. And that's why honestly I've had so many ad accounts turned off because or disabled, because I'm not quite sure what the rules are, but I like to push the limits. Okay. So that's how you create an ad. So just get some value from that. Is that cool? I'm watching the chat here again. So no value. Nobody like that. I really can't see what's going on. People still here. People are still here. Cool. Awesome. Okay. And so the last thing I want to show you guys is I want to show you guys actually some optimization stuff, some metrics. I want to show you guys like a live campaign. You actually can see the difference when we're running a dynamic creative and why you would do that. So let me go back here to campaigns. Okay, so this is a campaign we have currently running. And I want to show you guys how to actually look at some of these numbers. So the default is going to be performance in default. And so what you want to do is you're going to turn it to performance and clicks. And you want to make sure your date is right up here. So in the last 7 days, make sure your dates are right. Oh, I was on the wrong one here. Okay, so now we're going to go over here to hit this little button right here, go over to performance and clicks. Then you can click on it and you can see the cost per result. And so here's the thing about Facebook now. Some of you guys might know this, some of you guys might not, but in the last year or so, Apple and Facebook have had a fight, and Apple no longer allows us to no longer shares the pixel information with Facebook. And so if you're on an Apple phone, it's hard unless you put a allow this app to track you. Anytime you show up my landing page, you don't actually show up. So we've had to find different ways to actually track this cost per result. This is not our actual cost per result. We actually track it by the leads that come into our funnel now. And so it makes Facebook a little less, the reporting just a little less valuable. But at the same time, we actually get this number from our lead sheet. But the rest of these numbers, we actually can still pull from Facebook because it's still giving us good numbers. So you can see our CPMs. Again, I told you about $30 is about average for us. You can see the link clicks. You can see the click per link. So we're spending about $7 for every single person to actually click on the link. Okay. We got 213 total clicks. And so we're getting about $2.32 per cost per click, which means that somehow they're interacting with the page. Okay. That's what that means. I would really need to have different ad sets to compare this to in order for me to see what is good and what isn't. But we only have one ad set going because we actually are running dynamic creative. And so when you put on, if you go back up here to ad set, there's a little place in here that puts dynamic that you can check on here that says dynamic creative. And so when you click this on, you can actually put in multiple pictures. So this is we have these pictures going right now, and I actually just optimized this the other day. So we had, I think, 7 or 8 pictures going, and then I took out 4 of them because these are the ones that were converting well. And then we have this text going. So we have 1, 2, 3, yeah, we have 3 going right now. I think I started with 6, so I got rid of 3 of these. Headlines, these are the 3 headlines that we're working with. Limited vouchers, I had 3 of these descriptions going. I'm back down to 1 because 1 was killing it. And then I am rolling this call extension. Maybe I should take this off. I don't know if I want that on there. Yeah, okay, so that's when you do dynamic creative. You actually can put more of those in there at one time. So if you wanted to test these all individually, you could just create different ads underneath there. So you could literally just duplicate this, and you could test just the headline or test just the pictures against each other and see which ads perform the best. Dynamic creative kind of cheats that process a little bit. But how do you figure out what ones are doing well? Is you go up to this little button right here and you go by dynamic creative element. And yes, you can click on it and it'll show you all these numbers based on the dynamic creative, right? So you can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, looks like I'm gonna set 8 of them going. And then based on link clicks, and I'm looking at the link clicks, I'm seeing that, okay, this one is getting $14 per click, but it's got 34 clicks. This one is getting $6 a click. It's got 62 clicks. You can start to see which one of these ads are performing the best, right? So again, your click-through rate here, your link click-through rate, which one's the highest? It's this one right here. Cost per click is 180. So this one looks like it's performing the best. So if I were to just give one a winner, let's see if that actually shows results as well. Again, The results is kind of, it's kind of wonky. That's the part that kind of sucks. Is like, usually we just look at results and like, okay, this one's performing the best, but results aren't 100% accurate because there's probably a lot more results on this one. But because Facebook doesn't actually show us our results well. Yeah, so if you see here, this is Facebook basically telling you that these numbers are not accurate. So anyway, that's why you have to kind of leave between the lines. And we've had to rely a lot more on these numbers more to see what ads are working, because our cost per result isn't as, it's not as a strong number anymore as it was in the past. So you also see this one has spent the most money too, right? So maybe you have one that hasn't spent enough money and it doesn't make it a bad lead. It just hasn't got any traction. So sometimes you have to like turn one of these off to give one of these more. Okay. So that's, and that's just showing you what it looks like from just the picture, but you could do the same thing with the text, right? So look at the copy. Same thing, you can see the results. Again, you can see the reach, you can see the cost per result. So this one has got two, it's got $27. This one's spent $220. So if you look at some of these numbers. So all the CPMs are like, again, they're right in that 30-ish range. These ones, these outliers, you see this one at $50, but if you look at it, really, it only has 106 impressions. So the only reason why it's high is because it hasn't got a ton of traction. So I would just leave it on. Same thing with this one. This one's high, but it only has 39 impressions. And link clicks, 32 link clicks. So your cost per link click is $6.89. These ones are really high, but again, they don't have a ton of impressions. So I would say if I'm looking at it from a standpoint of like, this one is probably doing the best, it looks like. It's getting the most traction in a way, and Facebook is continuing to push through it. So yeah, like these two, if I were to pick one, I would just pick these two, and those would be the winners. So and you can do that by everything you do on here. You can do by headline, by description. And so that's how you're able to test which one of these headlines or which one of these copies or which one of these pictures are working the best. So again, you just want to make sure that you're doing on performance and clicks. And yeah, really, again, like it's just comparing it to each other. There is no good or great. You're just trying to get a general idea of what you want to turn off, what you want to turn on. And then if like, okay, all these suck, then you can create brand new creative again. I could come through here and I can create a whole nother campaign and have totally different copy and totally different pictures, and then try to compare that. I could always try to beat it. And so just to put in perspective, when we were at the peak of running our Facebook ads, I was creating new campaigns, one every 2 to 3 days, like brand new campaign from scratch. And I was like, campaigns would literally last 3 or 4 days, but I knew it was only last 3 or 4 days. So I had another campaign coming right behind it. And so while one was going, I was testing another one behind it and like trying to keep it going. And it was a lot of ads. I have spent a lot of time making Facebook ads because that's, we had to at the peak of when we were trying to spend as much money as we possibly can in the local market. We're only advertising to 20,000-30,000 people. Like it gets ad fatigue a lot quicker than if you're running it to 100,000 people. So the bigger market you have, you actually have a little bit of benefit that you don't maybe have to update your stuff as much. So again, there's pros and cons to the whole thing. But really, it's just volume. How much volume you can put in there, do you have a better idea of what's working, and then you keep what's working, get rid of what isn't working, and you just keep replacing. So, all right, guys, that is it. That's my presentation on Facebook ads here. So I'm gonna stop the share screen here. See who's still in here. Still got some people's in here. Tom Swan's in here. Good to see you, my dude. Okay. I'm gonna pull my chat back up. So if you guys do have some questions, go ahead and drop some questions in the chat. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Okay. So that brings me to the point. Before I get into questions, I'm gonna get into questions. So get you guys' questions ready here. So back to this for 1 second. So if you guys do want the recording, okay, you guys do want the recording of this, right? And all the previous free trainings and all the future trainings. Again, the only ask I have for you guys is just go follow my podcast. Everything goes my way. Again, Apple, Spotify, go on there, go follow it. If you're feeling groovy, you can write a review. Go subscribe to my YouTube channel. starting to post lots of stuff on there as well, at Logan Lee Manzanares. And then once you do that, DM me on Instagram and I will send you the link so you have access to the membership site that has this training. It's going to have all the previous trainings and all the future trainings to begin with. So I want to keep everything in one place. And again, it's all 100% free. I literally have nothing to sell you whatsoever. Just like as Alec would say, I'm just trying to provide value. And I actually have a lot of fun doing this. I learn a lot by doing this. And hopefully you guys too as well. So I know that I spent a lot of time and money learning all this stuff. And I'm like, I want to share it with somebody. And it keeps me from starting new businesses and allows me to focus on my current businesses and not start new businesses by helping you guys out. That's actually what it does. So sometimes when you have this skill, this tool, you're like, you just want to put it to work all the time. And so if I just share with you guys can put it to work, then I can get my fulfillment through you guys actually utilizing this information. And I get messages all the time from people who are like, hey, I used one of your trainings. Like someone sent me a message on Facebook, was like, you know, that cleaning seminar or that cleaning presentation you did, like I started a cleaning business and I got my first campaign up last week and I got leads, I got sales calls today. It was just like, oh, like that's so cool. And so anyway, that's what this is all about. All right, where's my chat at? I lost my chat. Okay, let me look up here for some questions. If you have questions, you guys post it in the chat. Yeah, you will catch the replay, Tom. You were here for a lot of it. Okay. All right, what got you past your fears of Alex Hermosi's system, started running ads on Facebook? Yeah, I literally gave him every single penny I had. I had $10,000 that was underneath my pillow that I slept on top of every single night. And I gave all that money to Alex. And so at that moment, my commitment was 110%. And so what Alex saying did work, but also I worked the system to a place where I was like so uncomfortable. I was so scared. That first 30 days was like the most uncomfortable moments of my life. Like I didn't want to get out of bed a lot of times, but I was committed. I was forced. I had to. So I did it. And I'm so grateful for those moments because looking back on it, like you grow the most when you're challenged, when you're uncomfortable, when you're scared, when you don't know you don't know what's going to happen. So a lot of that is just finding a way to commit. And money can do that. Being accountable to somebody else can do that. Just having to, like in 2019, when we lost our in-person business, we went online. Like I had no choice. Like I literally I had $25,000 of expenses coming in every single month and I had $0 coming in as revenue. And I was like, I mean, I had to figure it out. So fear is a great motivator. And then eventually you want to get to a place where you're moving more towards pleasure and away from pain majority of the time. But pain is to be the greatest motivator to most people. They can understand how to get away from pain rather than like, oh, it'd be cool if I had $1 million. Yeah, that'd be cool, but it'd be cooler not being dead ass broke. And so more so people are more likely to take action on not being dead ass broke rather than like being a millionaire. So as far as fears go, like putting yourself in a situation where you put your back against the wall, some of that happens organically. Sometimes it can happen because you force it. So both can work. Is going broad bad? Not necessarily. Again, it just depends on your type of market. Like for us in fitness, who in here wants to lose weight? Who in here wants to get a little bit leaner? Who in here wants to lose a little bit of belly fat? Yeah, me too, right? And I'm the leanest one in here, right? Like I still want to get leaner. So at the end of the day, like every single person wants to lose weight. So that one you want very broad, right? But how do you narrow it down is if you target specific areas. So again, hey Bozeman, hey Mesa, hey wherever you're at, that can help narrow it down and you can narrow down your audience. So we did online training and we did go national for our marketing for a period of time. But here's what we did is like I would go to, I'm trying to think of the place I actually went into. Actually I went to different towns in Montana first. That's what I did. So instead of being in Bozeman, I went to like a town an hour away. I said, hey, Helena, right? I said, hey, Helena ladies, we're running this free 6-week challenge. And so I basically took the local concept to them and I ran a national ad where we signed up people in Helena who live an hour away from us, but I used the local concept. And so if you'll see that on Facebook a lot, you'll see a lot of service businesses or a lot of you guys in here are in real estate, so like the Rich Dad Poor Dad style seminars, they always say, hey, Bozeman, you know, Rich Dad Poor Dad's coming here to the Civic Center, right? And so get your ads here. So you'll see a lot of that happening. And now how to target things like that outside of my scope. Again, I've never actually really understood exactly how those big national guys do targeting, truly detailed targeting in specific niches. Like there's lots of arts and sciences behind that. Outside of like, you can take somebody's audience and you can advertise all your stuff in front of them. And then you can do like lookalike audiences. Like if you have a list of people on your list, you can take that, you can upload it into Facebook. But there's lots of fancy things that is outside of my scope that you can start to niche it down when you're doing advertising. So, okay. Took an overwhelming topic. Yeah. I'm trying to make it simple. But until you get your hands dirty, it's a skill set, right? So either you can learn it or you can have somebody else do it for you. Yep. So the recording, again, just the recording, I think I stated it, but go follow me on YouTube, go follow my podcast, and then DM me on Instagram, and I will send you the link so you can get into that membership. So you can have this recording and previous recordings. You get a bonus, right? Trying to overdeliver for you guys here. What's up, Mark? How would you approach for vending machines? I don't know, man. I don't know who your customer is. Like, are you trying to get people who own the vending machine? No, because you own the vending machine, so you're probably trying to get into people's businesses, right? Mark, you can actually mute yourself if you're there.
Yes. I'm trying to get into break rooms, like corporations, you know, distribution centers that have like 200, 300, 500 people.
Yeah. Again, it's outside of my wheelhouse specifically, but if it were me and I was, again, I'm back against the wall, I probably wouldn't necessarily start Facebook ads. I would pick, like, do you know who your clientele is? Like, who's your perfect avatar? Who's the person that you want your vending machine in?
Right. Like Shell, Amazon, even local steel refineries. It can even be a lawyer that have employees, a realtor organization that has, you know, 200 employees on staff. Anywhere where there's distribution, where people is going to be there and not at home, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Again, I hesitate to even give you advice because it's not something I've ever done before. But if, again, what I would probably do if it were just me, I would do more like outreach marketing rather than inbound marketing on that type of deal, because you do got to be more specific on who you're going after. And one person might, like, is there a business that you could have five or six vending machines in like one place?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So like, like Shell. So
that's more like, I would think about that more like affiliate type marketing, or like Dream 100ing, where I'm like, I'm going to pick my 100 top businesses. So you've heard the Dream 100 before, correct?
No.
So Dream 100, made popular by Russell Brunson, actually Chet Holmes was the one who made it popular. Russell Brunson talked a lot about it. And then a guy named Dana Derricks, who actually spoke at one of Alex's events, one of his first couple of events. He made this book called The Dream 100. I think I have it back here somewhere.
Let me have it.
So the Dream 100 book, right? And so you would take this concept and you would just put out the 100, your Dream 100 clients inside your area, and you would get addresses, you would get phone numbers, you would get emails, you try to get as much information as possible could. Like, you should hire a VA to get as much of that information as possible can, and then start outreaching them, right? Start calling them, start emailing them. And then you could even, like, depending on if you know what your lifetime value of your customer is, you could start doing direct mail marketing to them as well. And you basically just need to get a conversation with a decision maker, right? And that's your goal. So that's what I would do on the type of situation. I would do more Dream 100. You'd save yourself a lot of money, but you're going to spend a lot more time, but also the payoff's a little bit bigger as well. Instead of like on Facebook, you're getting one customer. The way that this doing it, like, you could have one customer could give you 6, 7, 10 vending machines. So that's why you got to look through it, rather than I'm just trying to get one person. It's like, how do I get one person, one vending machine instead of that? Like, how do I get one person and 10 vending machines?
Got it. Got it. Dream 100.
Dream 100 all day long. All day long. Yeah. Great question, though. Have you ever used awareness ads? I have not used awareness ads. How can I generate leads for law firms? Yeah, great question. So so every single industry, again, you got to understand what is the average lifetime value of a client for that business. So if you're being like, if you're an agency and you're trying to help a lawyer, you got to ask that lawyer, hey, if I bring a lead in, they turn into a customer, what is that person worth to you? 9 times out of 10, they're not going to know. So that's their homework first. It's like, you need to tell me exactly how much that customer is worth so I know how much money I can spend, right? So if they tell you that the average lifetime value of their customer is $8,000, well, Kavish, if I tell you that your cost per lead is going to be closer to like $100, okay, a lead, and your conversion rate on that lead is going to be 20%, okay, which means that it's going to like it's going to cost you $500 to generate one lead, or excuse me, to generate one customer. Is that a good deal for your lawyer client?
Yes, Logan. So actually, I am working on commissions as of now. So I generate $2,000 in commission for the one lead, one customer which I bring. So $500 is totally worth the amount which I would be generating. So,
yep, exactly. So that's what you got to do is you got to know your numbers in the back end and say if there are customers with $5,000 and you're able to generate a customer for $500, and then you can obviously like you need to make your money too in there. So then you got to figure out, well, how do I generate leads for law firms, right? And so at that point, what I would actually do is I would go try to find law firms in my area that are like your client. I would look in the area to see other competitors to see if they're advertising. That's the first thing I would do. And if they are, then you can see what kind of ads they're running, and then you can model their ads, right? And then at that point, you also have like, again, you can go blind, or you just like you go search until you find a lawyer that's actually advertising, and you are able to model them and get an idea of what's working. So you want to see what they're doing for their copy, for their headlines, for their pictures, what they're doing on their landing page, like what is their offer that they're offering, right? And so, again, is Facebook the best avenue for that? I don't know. Maybe it's going to be search-based marketing, like maybe Google ads. Again, like I just showed you guys Facebook ads. I'm just showing you one little like niche of the pie. Like there's Facebook ads, there's YouTube ads. And those might be better because people are actually searching for specific things. So depending on what type of lawyer your dude is, is it somebody who they're actually searching for a divorce lawyer, right? That's someone that's very search-based. If someone's looking for a DUI lawyer, like that's very much search based. And so understanding what type of lawyer it is too, is what is that person? Like, what are they doing to get that? What are they doing to go try to find that person? Right. So sometimes Facebook ads don't work amazing, but it doesn't mean it can't be part of your strategy. So you always got to know who your ideal avatar is and then where they're hiding out. Right. Where they're hiding out. Like, again, who's your perfect avatar? Where are they at? And then are they on Facebook? Is that a good place for them? Then you can go spray them on these specific areas of the internet. Right. Yeah, or maybe Facebook's not the best place for them. Maybe it's Google. Maybe it's search-based stuff. Maybe it's YouTube. Right.
Okay. Okay, Logan. Thank you so much.
Yep. So Facebook isn't always the answer. Just as a side note, it's not always the answer. Okay. Thank you. Cleaning business. How was your ad spend different from when you started versus now? Yeah. Oh my gosh. Facebook, like ad costs always go up, right? Just like inflation has gone up, ad costs go up as well. So when it comes to cleaning business, when we first started the cleaning business in 2020, so it's been about 2 years, we were probably in that like 10 to 15. Actually, it was less than the beginning, probably like $5 to $10 range. Now we're probably in that $20, $25, $30 an ad or a lead range. So like as far as ad cost goes up, but we're continuing to market, we've never turned the ads off once. Like since 2020, we've always updated, we've always refreshed, we've never turned them off. So they're always consistently going, which means they get fatigued. But somehow people still opt in every single day, right? And that's in a small market. Like don't know if you guys, where all you guys are at. I know Tom's in Arizona. His market's definitely much bigger than I am. 5 million people in the metro area, obviously much smaller in your specific area, but I assure you that there's enough people in your market right now that want your product if you're doing local advertising. So it continues to go up, but the key is not to try to necessarily, like, you want to manage your costs. That's why I showed you guys the CPCs and the CPLs and click through rates. Cause like you do want to, like, you want to manage it. You want to play with it. You want to make sure that you're like, you're not just wasting money away. You have an idea what's happening, but the majority of your time should be spent on the back end of like, how do I just increase the amount of money that my customer that I'm getting from my customer? How do I increase my lifetime value? Right. That means, how do I charge more money? How do I keep them for longer? How do I deliver a better product or service? How do I make my business more efficient? Like, those are the type of things you actually should be focusing on. You just need your Facebook ads. You need your campaigns not to harm you, unless you just have a massive team, right? And I think that's like, as an entrepreneur, you only have so much vision, you only have so much attention. And so where your attention goes is usually, you know, where the money flows. And so I'll answer right now, like, if you put the majority of your attention on making your product better and how do you increase the value, how do you increase lifetime value, your business will be far better than you focusing on how do I get my cost per lead from $25 lead down to $15 lead. Like, it's not the right type of thinking long term. I'm not saying, again, you shouldn't understand the process to a T, but ultimately there's only so much attention to go around. For providing for appointment booking as a service, where my current medium for leads is outbound email, LinkedIn. So you can think, you can use ads as well to increase the amount of leads. Providing appointment booking as a service. Yeah, Kavish, so what's your question?
Pardon? What are you asking?
Yeah, so you're saying that you're using appointment booking. So you're trying to, like, you are a service provider for someone like me. Yeah. Who has a business, and you're saying, hey, I can get you more appointments, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And right now you're using email and LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you could also use just Facebook and Instagram. Like, you're doing outreach marketing. So when you're doing outreach marketing and inbound marketing, they're different styles. They're different. There's different rules. And so how I would scale outbound marketing is I would do on more channels. So you're doing outbound email, you're doing outbound on LinkedIn. Why not do outbound on Facebook? Why not do outbound on Instagram as well?
Yeah, can try that also, yes.
That's what I would do. I wouldn't, like, I've done outbound too. Like, as much as I showed you guys that we've done inbound Facebook marketing, like, I've also done a lot of outbound as well. And they both have the pros and cons. But if I'm scaling outbound, I'm going to scale to more platforms. Like, when we started on outbound marketing, we started on Facebook, and then we got it humming and hawing. Then we moved it over to Instagram. And then once we could move it on over to Instagram, then all of a sudden I was like, oh my gosh, this is working. So how I scaled it is I got my wife's Facebook and I started doing outbound marketing on my wife's Facebook account. And I started doing it on her Instagram account. So that's how I started to scale. Then I started doing it on my trainers. I had my trainers. I started using their Instagrams. And so that's how I scaled outbound marketing. Okay. Again, doesn't scale as easy as Facebook ads, not at all. But if I'm already doing that, I'll do more of that, especially if it's working. Because your scripts, your processes, your systems are all the same, right? Yeah. Now you're just on a different medium.
Yeah, I just want to scale a bit more. But yeah, the problem is even if I use automations, like, it is not that scalable as Facebook ads. So that's why I was just curious.
Yeah. You know, the best way to scale outbound marketing is actually using virtual assistants. That's what we did. Is we basically would give them a script and I would show them how to create the list. I would show them how to do what's called the icebreaker message, and that's how I would start them. And then I would take over after that first message in the beginning, and I would basically show them how to maneuver that conversation to create an appointment. But then after I had enough of those examples and I did enough like training with that VA, then they could actually take over that whole process. And then I would just wake up with appointments on my schedule.
Okay.
Like, so that's how you scale outbound marketing, is actually through virtual assistant. But the truly automated is, it's just not, there's not a solution out there that I've seen that actually does the job well enough for anybody to actually recommend it.
Yeah.
Right. And that's coming from working with Alex, who literally spent $4 million of his own money to build a software called Allen. That was the whole goal of Allen, was to do this automations. And it never quite worked out. It just was never really that great.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So. Thanks, Logan, once again.
Yep. Tom, what's up, man?
What's going on, man? Thank you so much for putting this on. This is your series are quickly becoming, like, in my opinion, the hottest thing on the hottest Zooms on the market.
Yeah, they're fun.
Outbound marketing might be an idea for another one.
Outbound marketing is fun because I like outbound marketing because it's just output, right? It's just work output. And that's why I really resonate with this. Like, how much work can you put into it? There's like little nuances that you learn from Facebook and Instagram that you have to like stay within their box. Otherwise you can get banned, disabled, which goes me to, as you have started to see this trend, I showed you guys on my disabled Facebook accounts. I actually lost my Instagram account about a year and a half ago and gone, vanished, goodbye. So if you guys do go to my Instagram account, you'll see that like this Instagram account originally was an old business account, and like you'll see the first post on it was October of 21. So like I've only had my current Instagram account for less than a year. So anyway, there's rules to outbound marketing that you gotta stay within, otherwise you can get your account disabled and lost and gone forever.
Hey, I got a question for you. You mentioned before outsourcing the paid ads. Are you doing your paid ads yourself? It looks like you are, but
yeah,
you're doing all of them. Okay.
Yeah, there's agencies out there that they will run your ads for you, and they'll take, you know, I don't exactly know how they do it, but they'll take either some of your revenue, or they'll take a percentage of your ad spend, or there's like all sorts of fancy ways to do it. So
that is
an option. If you have enough margin, if you have enough in your business, I think it's a great option, because like, as you guys saw, like there's a lot of stuff, and as you start to play with it, it becomes very time consuming. So, but when you're small and you don't have all the money to go around, like sometimes you have to learn the skill yourself, and then eventually you learn it and then you teach it. That's the most efficient way to do it. But if you have some capital and you have more money than time, then hire somebody else to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I did ads myself, but many, many years ago, and I'm sure the platforms changed quite a bit. So I'll have to go back and watch the beginning of this, because I missed the first half hour of this.
It's literally changing all the time. And when I went through a couple of weeks ago and I made that funnel for Kyle, I was like, it took me a minute to help him get his stuff set up, because it was like starting over from scratch. And like, it's been a long time since I've done it. And even I was like stuck in there. I'm like, oh shit, I gotta figure this out. So
yeah.
It's a process.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. But anyways,
cool.
Thanks again for putting this on, man. It's
thanks
killer,
for showing up, guys.
Killer content.
Cool. If you guys have any other questions, let me know. I think we've been on here for about an hour and a half. So,
hey, Logan, Kevin here. Do you do any Google PPC stuff as well?
I have. Yeah. So I've done Google PPC before as well. And for our business, the Facebook ad just worked the best. Like, we definitely use PPC for the fitness business, and I just have never even tested it with the cleaning business. But are you in real estate?
Yeah.
So real estate seems to work better than Facebook ads does, right? So again, like, it's different markets, different industries translate differently. And as far as Google PPC goes, like, it's relatively simple. their process. You can actually get on a call with a Google Ads expert. You can Google the Google Ads and get it set up. It's not overly complicated. Of course, like there's like high level stuff, and you can, same thing that Tom talked about, like you can go pay somebody who knows exactly what they're doing and pay them a lot of money too. Just depends on what your budget is. But based on what I have experienced, like PPC for real estate and trying to get like hot seller leads, I've noticed that it's a better platform than Facebook is. Not saying that, like, I definitely know people who have got Facebook to work for a period of time, but PPC has by far been something that I've seen consistently work for a longer period of time.
Yeah, so right now we're paying a company to manage all of our Facebook ads, and they just take a flat fee. And then we're thinking about launching a parallel Google PPC campaign, and now they'll be managing that as well. But they have some limitations in terms of like, okay, if you're going to do Google PPC, you're going to pour X, you know, there's a certain minimum, basically, ad spend. Yeah. Have you found that to be useful to, like, for them to spend? I think it's $2,100 a month, I think, for the Google PPC, which is their minimum on top of the Facebook, which is another $2,000 on top of their fee, which is like $1,300. So it just, the numbers start adding up, right?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like when I run ads, like the more money you spend, the quicker you get to find out what works. And so in the beginning, like I would do this way, I would start with like one ad and I would ramp up like this, kind of like I was showing you guys. But now I'll start by spending like $500 a day for like 3 or 4 days, and then figure out really quickly what's working, what's not working. I'll turn everything off that doesn't work, and I'll keep the thing that does work. So spending more money is helpful. Why they have their limits, probably something similar. Like in order to get enough penetration in the market, like they want to figure out what's working. So there definitely is a certain aspect that you have to spend in order for you to get some traction. Like there's lots of guys when we were doing when I was inside Gym Launch, that they wanted to like skimp out on ad spend, right? So like I was spending at least $100 a day, sometimes more. And with that, you could get a pretty good idea of what's working. But some guys want to spend $20-$25 a day, and you weren't able to get enough traction, get enough conversions for you to actually figure out what's working, what's not working. And so there's a certain limit that you got to spend. Why they have those limits, I'm sure it has something to do with like they understand what's working for them. And also, I don't know, obviously they get paid a flat rate, but like they just, like they have their numbers, they have their system. And so if you trust them, then you should just go with them. Like they're saying it for a reason, right? I don't know exactly why, but.
Right, okay. All right, appreciate it.
Yeah, and you can run them against each other, right? Run PPC against Facebook ads and see which one you're getting. Again, doesn't necessarily mean like where you're getting the best cost per lead, but like, are you getting more conversions from the PPC versus the Facebook ads? Are you getting more motivated sellers from the PPC versus like always, like track your back end just as much as you track your front end as well, because even though you might spend twice as much on PPC, maybe they're a much higher quality lead and you're converting more of them.
Makes sense.
Right. So those are the things to also track. Like don't just track the cost per lead, because if you just track that, you'll be fooled a lot of times. Because a lot of times, what I didn't share with you guys is that we ran two different types of campaigns. We ran a free offer, a free 6-week challenge, which you guys saw that video, but then we also ran a 12-week high ticket program. Okay. And so our cost per lead on the high ticket program was significantly more than our free 6-week challenge was, right? But the person also paid four times as much money on the back end than this person did. And so we actually could generate less leads, deal with less phone calls, less people, but make four times as much money. Right.
Makes sense. Okay.
Always understand your back end numbers. Yeah. Cool. Did I ask your question, Kevin?
Yes, sir. You did. Yes. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yep. Awesome, guys. All right. Well, I appreciate you guys all for hopping on here. Again, we were scheduled for an hour, we went an hour and a half. And so thank you guys for showing up last minute. And if you guys want access to the recording and you want access to all the previous recordings and future recordings, again, go check out my podcast, go check out the YouTubes, and appreciate you guys all being on here. And if you guys have any like any ideas of what you guys like want to see next, again, I just trying to provide as much value to you guys. So you guys let me know what you guys want to see. And if I'm able to fulfill it, would love to share with you guys.